This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back. The much-anticipated Matt Youmans appearance, Michael Lombardi. He's going to join us coming up in just about 28 minutes as we welcome you back. We do have football. Like I like to say, football's freaking back, and it does feel great. Las Vegas right now, laying 2.5. You know, our buddy John Ewing at BetMGM is reporting close to 75% of the money in the bets, 75% of the bets on the Raiders. And obviously, big-time under money, 9 of the last 16 Hall of Fame games, Michael Lombardi have cashed to the under, a 33 opener down to 30.5. That's one. We do have a bit of breaking news I wanted to run by you. It doesn't have anything to do with gambling, but it is quite shocking. 9.5 years for Brittany Griner in Russia. 9.5 years wow. In prison. I don't know if you saw that, but that is absolutely jarring, as Brittany Griner, of course, WNBA player, she just got 9.5 years. That is absolutely one of the saddest stories you're going to see.
Yeah, and hopefully somebody can help this situation out. That is really sad, Patrick.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. That's just coming across right now. I wanted to ask you, Michael, about what happened with Stephen Ross, because for me, it came across a little convoluted, but I will tell you, that, you know, that 2023 first round pick that he got docked, that's a big deal. So is 2024 getting a third rounder docked, right? Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, suspended until October 17th, $1.5 million. But the draft picks are big here. What are you hearing on this suspension?
Well, I think, look, it's pretty clear. The other owner, Bruce Beal, was also fined $500,000 and is not allowed to go to owner meetings. He's the minority owner. He will become the majority owner of the Miami Dolphins if and when Stephen Ross retires or if he passes away. So that the succession plan is already in place. And Bruce Beal's best friend is Tom Brady. And so they're all Michigan men. This is all a Michigan thing. And so there's kind of a confluence of going back and forth. And it's very challenging when the rules of the NFL say that you're not allowed to talk to somebody from another team, even though he's your best friend. It's, you know, but it happens after every game. You know, people are talking after the game, or it happens at the combine, you know. So that being said, I think the real issue here, if you're a Miami Dolphin fan, is Stephen Ross is really active with your team. Like, Stephen Ross is not just some owner who's on his yacht in the Hamptons. Like, he's involved.
Right.
You know, he was involved with the Tua pick. He went out to Oregon. Like, he's involved in everything that goes on. He went out to Oregon to watch the quarterback. He went to Alabama to watch Tua. He was going places. He's involved, and he wants to be involved. And so this, to me, is just another example of his involvement. And I think if you're a Dolphin fan, you see it. Now, do I think they did? Yeah, I know they did. But what I want to raise the question to you, Patrick, is this. Mm-hmm. What will happen now? You know, as they ruled that they were in violation of the integrity of the playing to win rule. Why weren't the Eagles 2 years ago when they were playing for a draft pick and they benched Jalen Hurts at halftime? Wasn't that the same thing?
Because Mike Tomlin stood up and said something, right? I mean, now, it's also nebulous, the ruling that came down, wasn't it? Because Stephen Ross put out a statement that said, I feel vindicated. We haven't been implicated as far as the findings don't find us to be guilty of intentionally tanking. But then, if you read through the wording, there was some kind of, it was a nebulous nature as far as whether or not they were tanking, right?
Right, no doubt. And look, you know, what he was saying, what happens all the time, it's the same thing that they said in Philly. We'd rather have a better draft pick. Let's lose.
Right.
So they pulled the quarterback, you know. Like, how is what Philly did any different than happened in – so if I'm Goodell and I issue that rule, I would have issued another paragraph saying, this is a reminder to all teams in week 16 and 17 of the season that if you're not willing to play your players – then you're going to be subject to this type of fine. And it would have helped us as bettors handicap. What's the hardest weekend for us to handicap?
That's a great point. That is a good point. As the season wears down. Yes.
Yeah, it's impossible. I'll put them on IR. We're going to play for next year. We'll get a higher draft pick, you know? Well, if the rules are you got to play to win, which is what you should do, then how do you let the Eagles get by and find Miami what you find Miami? They did exactly what Miami wanted. They lost. You say, well, Miami was going to do it for the season. Well, the Eagles were doing it for a draft pick. I mean, essentially, the Eagles got a third-round pick from losing because they moved up far enough in the draft that it was essentially what it would cost you a third-rounder to move up.
And pardon me, I said Tomlin. I meant Brian Flores. Brian Flores stood up and said something. Let me ask you this. Do you think within football circles they consider what Flores said to be unsavory? Because it's almost like don't ask, don't tell in that scenario, right? Where it's an understood situation as opposed to something that's egregious.
Well, I felt like what Brian said was true, but I never thought the team behaved that way. So, like, I think what the league reported was what I saw. I saw a team that was liquidating its assets, trade Fitzpatrick, do this, you know, get rid of, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick, make this trade, you know, all these guys, right? Trade Tunsil. Strip the team down. But they were trying to win. Do you remember Steve Young on Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh, how he ridiculed Miami for tearing the team down, and then they almost went out and beat Pittsburgh that day? You know, I mean, like, they were trying. If you just watch football, they were trying to win. They weren't good enough, but they were trying to win. Like, I never doubted that. Like, I never doubted Flores' integrity in that. But I don't doubt that they were walking around the building saying, let's lose, let's tank, let's put Sam Henke on these guys. You know, and Flores was trying to build a culture. Flores was trying to develop a winning attitude. You know, and let's face it, that year they beat New England, cost New England in Tom Brady's last game in New England regular season. It cost them a chance to host a home to skip the wild card round. Think about that.
Yeah. I guess what I'm asking you is, while Flores was doing what was right, do you think it will hinder him? Because you've said a million times on the show, he deserves a head coaching job right now. Will this hinder him moving forward as far as getting another job?
I don't see. To me, he's got experience as a head coach. Did he make mistakes? There's no doubt. 5 of the 10 coaches that are new to the National Football League this year were former head coaches. Did they all make mistakes and why they got fired? There's no doubt. But they should be better the second time around. They should be improved. And with that being said, the same thing with Flores. You know, maybe he needs it, but you can see why now, based on what you read between the lines, how involved Stephen Ross was. You could see how Ross and Flores kind of butted heads, because Chris Greer's a really nice man. He's not going to challenge anybody. You know, he's not going to, you know, so he's going to do what the owner wants him to do. So if the head coach isn't in compliance, they need to get rid of the head coach. You could see now why this move was made, Patrick.
By the way, I'm just saying. The Miami Dolphin love is legit, Michael Lombardi. Their win total is sitting at DraftKings at 9. They're now your second betting favorite in division at 4.5 to 1. Your Miami Dolphins.
Well, I mean, I just saw this in the Miami paper this morning preparing for the show. It's like, you know, Tua now says, I think the team really believes in me now. I mean, like, what are we talking about here? Like, they, you know, obviously they didn't believe in you last year if you're going to say that this year, right? You know, I think the team's all in with me. Like, you think? Like, if you're all in, nobody, you don't have to tell anybody. Like, the prettiest girl in school doesn't tell everybody she's pretty. Everybody knows it.
We could write these preseason narratives of wash, rinse, repeat. Quarterbacks that struggled the year before says the team's all in the next year. I mean, it's wash, rinse, repeat, dude.
Hey, last year we were talking. I was losing my mind over the. Remember the Trey Lance love that was coming out of San Francisco?
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Of course.
I mean, he was like, oh, my God, it's Trey Lance. He's unbelievable. He's sensational. We got people on our network think he's going to be the MVP of the league. You know, I got people in the league telling me they're not even sure he's going to be able to get there.
I don't even know if he's a starter. How could anybody on him winning an MVP? We don't even know if he's a starter.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, there's a reason why Jimmy Garoppolo, like, I don't know what's going on. Like, to me, you get to a point, right? If you're John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, you say, okay, we've tried to trade this guy since February. We've got nothing on the table. He's willing to do a pay cut. He's been cleared of a physical. Like, what's holding up a trade? Literally, Kyle Shanahan went up to a couple teams at the owners' meeting and says, why aren't you interested in Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, he was dumbfounded by it. And the coach was like, well, you know,
I mean, like, we'll make a deal with you. Like, they're going to make, like, to me, the only reason they're holding on to Jimmy is they don't want him to go to Seattle.
We're going to come back and talk about Jimmy. Was that gamesmanship when Kyle was walking around saying, hey, what's up? You want a quarterback? You want a quarterback? I got one here. Well, I mean, it's almost like he was an auctioneer.
He's trying to drum up business. It's like the guy in the used car lot. And you're in Alabama and you're driving. You see that guy in the used car lot. He's waving a flag. Stop here. I got cars. You know, like, come on.
Hey, I got a question for you. Does Tua throw for 4,000 yards this year?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
DraftKings has got they've got him set at 39.50 and a half. So, you know, 49 yards, give or take.
You think he can stay healthy? 39.50. Do you think Tua can stay healthy? That's the other question. Do you think he can stay healthy? I mean, I'm sure that probably Ross and have passed a rule that, well, he's wearing a red jersey to games and no one's allowed to touch him. I'm sure that's going to happen, right?
He's got a thick trunk, but I'm going to tell you this. When I see Tua, I kind of see a dude that seems about my size. A little bit, like, small. Right around 6 foot, 180 pounds. Like, he's
don't
not
play
that big,
either.
Man.
I mean, Will Hill had Mike Sando on his podcast. Mike Sando told him, he said, of all the quarterbacks that I ranked, there was debate on everyone except Tua.
And you worry about him in the pocket because he doesn't play
if
big.
You rush
he
him
plays
the right
Kyler
way,
Murray
he's
style.
He's not going to play good if you rush him the right way. Now, that being said, a lot of teams don't rush the right way because – teams don't understand rush is more important than coverage. How you rush is more important than coverage.
I want you to think about this. If Miami had Jimmy Garoppolo, would you be more bullish? Because I'm going to raise my hand. And this is
never
not
do
to
that.
Doubt
are
Tua.
You kidding me? They'll never do that. Oh, my
I
God.
I understand. I'm just saying Jimmy's I'm next here, saying. Lombardi line. I'm just saying.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app. That's BetMGM Sports. All your favorite wagering options, in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today, or you can stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. Bring that state-issued ID, ready to place bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your style, Michael, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You've got to be 21 years old or gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. I'll repeat this as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. We've got football tonight. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Of course, Vegas and Jacksonville. I'll repeat this to Matt Eumanns when he joins us, but I've got a group chat of friends that are debating his fast food rankings. So when it goes to the homies group chat, you know that Eumanns is starting to spread his wings, and he's going to join us, Michael, and coming up in just about 15
minutes. I can't
wait.
I mean, I've gotten a butt. Like, some people don't know any of these places. Like, some of them are so not national or branded all over that, you know, like his number one from Chicago is little known. There's a few of them in the West, but they're not all known. So it's an extensive list. I mean, he goes deep and he's got a criteria because unlike the NFL, he understands to evaluate, you need a criteria or else you just wander around.
Now I understand why you're so obsessed with it, because this is what you've done your whole life. You evaluate things. And so when you see a list of evaluation when it comes to fast food, it's the same as a player for you.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, like I say this all the time, you know, the FBI doesn't start hunting serial killers by opening the phone book, right? They have a criteria that they're looking for. There's a pattern. There's a system. It's the same thing. That's what drives me crazy about the Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, Dick Vermeil's going to get into the Hall of Fame this weekend. Wonderful man. Great job in Philadelphia. You know, he brought a team from the ruins of what happened, you know, from the whole era, and brought them back to where they lose to the Raiders. Were favorites in that Super Bowl, by the way. Brent Musburger will tell you that they were significant favorites in that Super Bowl. The Raiders destroyed them. But anyway, and then he leaves. He takes time off. He comes back. He gets the Rams to the Super Bowl. Mike Martz had a huge role in that. Now, Mike Martz is hired to come in there to fix the offense. Jerry Rome had gotten fired. So then he wins the Super Bowl, retires, then comes back to the Chiefs and really never loses the playoff game. So his win percentage is lower than some of these guys that are getting in. I'm not saying Vermeil doesn't deserve to get in. I'm saying, how does he get in ahead of Holmgren? How does he get ahead of Clark Shaughnessy? How does he get ahead of Mike Shanahan? Okay? Because there's no criteria. at least my man Matty Eumanns, if he's going to have to get his cholesterol tested, he had a criteria.
This is the brilliance of Michael Lombardi, but I think in that little diatribe, you did compare McDonald's to Ted Bundy because you brought up serial killers, and then you brought up fast food, and then you brought up a head coach, and then you brought up a former Lombardi line guest, and that being the former St. Louis Rams head coach. So what the hell just happened there?
Well, I mean, look, to build a draft board, draft boards are about to find talent, to find the right answer, you must have elimination. You know, we get the nostalgia of finding Mickey Mantle. You know, you're driving down a road. One sign says go this way. You know, go to Tom Corcoran, the scout. One says go to this town. The other, and he goes one way and he finds Mickey Mantle. Like that. That's a nice story, but it's hard. Like, elimination is the key to finding.
Dude, you crack me up. If I told you that Tua's prop as far as passing yards over at DraftKings was 39.50, what do you think Trey Lance's would be? It's not a gotcha moment, but Trey Lance right now, DraftKings passing yards prop.
Last year, San Francisco was 27th in the National Football League in passing attempts, meaning they wanted to run the ball more. I would say it's 3,600.
Dude, you're so close. 3,500 and a half. So that's where they're sitting right now with Trey Lance. And I bring it up because Jimmy Garoppolo has been cleared to practice. This is such a conundrum because, I mean, he could end up getting cut, right? Because they need to save money on the cap.
I don't think they want to cut him because they know he could sign in Seattle. I think they're trying to do everything in their – they have to be. Like I wrote today, there's two teams that have vacancy signs in their window for their starting quarterback, right? It's the Carolina Panthers and the Seattle Seahawks. Now, they have competition from within, but the lights are on, right? The lights are on. There's competition there. You know, Pittsburgh and Carolina, the lights are on.
Right.
And so you've got to make a decision. The same thing in Seattle. Now, in New York, the lights are flickering a little bit because they won't admit that Daniel Jones isn't quite good enough, right? But they probably are looking. So let's call it four teams. Well, if you're the 49ers, you're trying to trade Jimmy to one of those four. Now, the Panthers don't want him. They've already solved that problem. They don't want to trade him to Seattle, so they're out. So now you're down to two teams. Is it Pittsburgh, you know, or the Giants?
What's your best guess?
I think it'll be the Giants. I'm just guessing because at some point, Brian Daboll is going to come to the realization that I don't think Daniel Jones, and I've said this how many times on the show, he doesn't play fast. When the game speeds up, he doesn't play well. When he could check the runners at first and third, he's good. But when he has to speed his game up, it's third down and I got to play fast, it doesn't happen. It's the same thing I used to complain about Ryan Tannehill when he was in Miami. Now, when Tannehill went to Tennessee, that one year he played fast. But the last 2 years, he's reverted back to the Miami Tannehill.
By the way, generally the market will tell the story. So last year, Michael, I can understand Kittle, okay, a security blanket, a tight end. But last year, Deebo Samuel, over 1,400 receiving yards, correct? 1,405, I think it was.
Right.
This year, you go over to DraftKings right now, his receiving prop is 950 and a half. That has everything to do with who's throwing him the football.
No doubt. Look, the book's not dumb. Like, the book knows it's going to be hard for Lance to come in there in spite of the fact that you should bet him for the MVP. It's going to be challenging. You know, it's going to be challenging. First of all, it's hard to learn the offense. Part of understanding how to play football is getting him in the right play, putting him in what they – this has nothing to do with intelligence. This has everything to do with experience. Right. It's can you emotionally have the ability to make it? And this is what I was writing about today is can you do those things? See, if Jimmy's on the team, Kyle has a hard time standing in front of the team and tell him Lance is better. The players won't buy it. With Jimmy not on the team, he can do it. Now, what happens to Kyle is if Lance isn't playing well, then Kyle's got to step in and say, OK, for me to preserve my respect within the team, I got to make a decision.
Do you want to laugh? Do you want a good laugh on a Thursday before we get to Matt Eumanns? Right now, Trey Lance is sitting 40-1 MVP. And Kirk Cousins is 50-1. I mean, again, I'm not putting cash on Kirk Cousins, but come on. That's St. Jude's.
Come on. I think Kirk Cousins is going to have a hell of a year. Kevin O'Connell, I think they're going to be better on offense with Kevin O'Connell. I think the Mike Zimmer wore himself out there, you know, and he coached the game defensively. His defense wasn't very good. I'll tell you, today I like Anthony Barr signed with the Cowboys. Anthony Barr was a good player at one time. Now, whether he's injured or not, but that's a good signing for the Cowboys. That'll free up that could free up Parsons to do different things on different formations. That's an interesting signing.
As training camp progresses, you've always talked about you love Jimmy G's character, but does this start to get awkward? Does this start to, is there a point of consternation here?
Well, I mean, look, first of all, if he's, as I said earlier in the show, right? So it's a mathematical problem, right? Training camp is always a mathematical problem. You have so many reps that you have to distribute, and you know Trey Lance needs as many reps as possible, okay? So with Jimmy on the team, he's not going to be on the team. So why are we giving him any reps? So you got a guy on the roster who's one of your 80, and he's not getting any reps, right? So he's standing off to the side. Nate Sudfeld's got to get the reps. Brock Purdy, the kid from Iowa State's got to get reps. And Lance has got to get 85 to 90% of them just to get him ready to go. So, like, that's why I don't understand. At some point as an executive in the league, when you try to trade a guy, you finally get to the point, well, we can't trade him. We'll just cut him. He's a vested veteran. Let him go out and make his own deal. Well, you know, why not? I mean, you're not – what are you going to get, a seventh? What do you – if somebody was going to offer you a first-round pick, now maybe they're waiting for somebody to get hurt, like what happened with in Minnesota and, you know, and Sam Bradford went for a first-round pick. Maybe they think that's what's going to happen.
So we ended last segment with me just saying, so I'm just going to say – wouldn't that Stefanski offense be perfect for Garoppolo?
Perfect.
I'm just saying.
Well, it's the same offense. It's the same offense. Remember, so Stefanski shows up in Minnesota. He's got Brad Childress. That's his first job. He learns the basics of the West Coast from Brad Childress. Then Kubiak comes in, so he learns the Shanahan-Kubiak version of the West Coast. I mean, Garoppolo could walk into Cleveland and make every call.
I'm just saying. I think saying. I'm not saying that I feel like you think the Giants is a
I think
a big
I think
potential.
They all know. I think they all know the new staff. I think they all know that Daniel Jones isn't going anywhere, and I think they got to find a solution. The problem is the Giants don't have a lot of cap room.
I swear to you right now, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, as a Lions fan, I'll take Garoppolo. It's crazy how he's almost been undervalued now.
The perception of him is terrible, horrible. They kill him, thanks to Amal
Shaw. It really is. Perception's at an all-time high for our next guest, Matt Eumanns with the Fast Food Rankings. Coming up next here, Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, the College Football Guide is out. The only way to get access to this year's football betting guide is to become a VSiN All Access subscriber. So right now you can sign up early for a discounted rate. It's $175, but think about this as an investment. You get the college and pro football betting guides all the way through the Super Bowl, or you can join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to offer. That includes Point Spread Weekly every Wednesday. So you get everything we offer, Michael Lombardi's articles. You get the fast food list over there for $175. That's a great investment. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. The College Football Betting Guide, it's like 300-plus pages. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we welcome you back here, Lombardi Line. Matt Eumanns is going to join us, host of VSiN's The Edge, weekdays at 4 Eastern. It's funny, we're a betting network, Michael Lombardi, but year after year, the most talked about, the most discussed thing we do on the channel is Matt Eumanns' rankings of the fast food joints, isn't it?
It really is. It's amazing. And the thoroughness that he gives us. I mean, the fact that he's able to span this entire continent, this country, and dig out some of these and... I marvel at it. I'm not a fast food guy, but I marvel at Matt's ability to, A, work on the college guide as hard as he did and still be able to come up with this incredible list.
Matt Eumanns, the floor is yours. Would you like to take your flowers and run with them? Go ahead.
Hey, it's always an honor to be on with Michael Lombardi. And as far as Patrick, man, it's good to see you back. You worked in the Vegas studio for, 2 years, and I think I saw you in person 3 times. And now you move back to California.
Matt, I had a better chance of seeing you at a Taco Bell drive-thru than the VSiN studios there at the South Point. I got to congratulate you because the way you wrote this year's list with the talk where you guys got flown to L.A. and Long Beach, it was incredible. Uh-huh. What has the reaction been like to this year's top 50?
Well, it's crazy. It's chaotic because so many people have strong opinions on these fast food joints. And I say this is relevant to what we do at VSiN in a way because so many bettors are frequent fast food joints. I mean, yes. We're on the go from one sports book to another. You know, we're not all lucky like Lombardi. We don't have a wife who cooks for us. So we have to find ways to fill in the blank and get all these meals. And I make a lot, you know, at least four fast food stops a day. And during football season, you're on the go, like I said, from one book to another. And you have to have a roadmap or a scouting report on which places to hit so you don't waste your time at places like Taco Bell, which is very low on my list, by the way.
Yes,
Patrick.
I know it is.
I know. It's funny, too, because this thing does get an incredible reaction out of people. The first time we did it with Mitch and Paul, obviously, it was a little bit different. It was 2020 during the pandemic, and we had 2 months without sports. And we're trying to come up with ideas to create content and came up with this. And the reaction to it was so strong, we're like, okay, we got to keep this going. So this is the fourth annual. I actually did one in 2019, but the 2021 is when it took off for obvious reasons.
But Matt, what is the one fast food chain that has seemed to draw the ire of most people where it's ranked?
You know, that's a good question because I get so many complaints or I'll have somebody. I agree with number two, but I hate number five. And then somebody else will say number five is way underrated, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's got different opinions. I think the one I would say is In-N-Out Burger. And Patrick, you can comment on this because being in California, In-N-Out is very strong. I mean, it's a little bit of a regional bias here on the West Coast, but there are some people who absolutely love In-N-Out Burger, others who hate it and say there's no way it should be in the top 10. And I think I've got it in about the right spot at number 8. But I could give you a list of like 10 or 15 places. I had guys yesterday tell me, I can't believe you have Arby's number 7. No way, that's top 10. And other people saying, Arby's should be in the top 5. That place is great. So you're not going to make everybody happy, you know that, with a list like this. But it's great to create debate and conversation and things like that. Michael, I will ask you, I had somebody tweet me yesterday, a professional sports bettor from Pittsburgh, and he said, have you ever heard of New Brighton Hot Dog Shop in Pittsburgh? Apparently, he claims they have the best chili dogs in the world, and that Tito Francona, the Cleveland manager, was in there last year, and he bought 4 dozen for his team. Have you ever heard of that?
No, because every time you go into Pittsburgh, there's that sandwich shop that puts French fries on it that everybody goes to. I forget the name of it. So I've not heard that one. You know, it's funny. I've been addicted, Matt, to True South lately. I've been watching it on television, ESPN Plus, about the great Wright Thompson and how they travel on. And I saw this hamburger joint in Kentucky that looked incredible. But like in Jersey, we've got this one place called White Manas that's up in Hackensack that I think should be on this list, but it's only one location, so nobody would go. Like when you put Freddy's Steak Burgers number 2, like I've never been to Freddy's. Like I I've been to Wichita. I've been to Bill Parcells' school. You know, I've driven through the country. I've never been there. I didn't even know what Freddy's Steak Burgers are.
Yeah, Freddy's has really blown up in the last 5 years. There's locations all over the country now. Maybe not as many on the East Coast. Like the spot you just mentioned in Jersey, I'd never heard of that. But like you said, it's one location. And most of these are on the top 50 list are going to be chains with a drive-through. And they have to be widely available for the most part. Freddy's Steak Burgers came out of Wichita. A lot of great things have actually come out of Wichita. It's an underrated spot. But Freddy's has been on the rise. You remember how, I don't know if you recall, how great Steak and Shake used to be.
Oh, yeah.
But in the 80s, 90s, yeah, Steak and Shake was the spot, man. I used to love that. So a 24-hour drive-through. Steak and Shake's kind of faded. Like I said, Taco Bell's faded. Steak and Shake's faded. Kind of like the Dallas Cowboys have faded. And then you have risers. You know, you have risers like the the Buccaneers and the Rams and Freddy Steakburgers that are high in the rankings. Now, Patrick, I didn't get your opinion. In-N-Out Burger, top 10 or not?
Oh, no, 8 is perfect. I absolutely love In-N-Out Burger. I'm just going to say a couple things. One, I've been reading Matt Eumanns for 20 years, sports pages back in the day. He knows what I'm talking about. So the fact that I'm talking to him about fast food restaurants right now, this is a guy that taught me how to bet. Secondly, I'm going to embarrass my father. Hi, Patrick, can you ask Matt Eumanns about White Castle? 41 feels low. No. And a little background, my dad's a postal employee. It was open 24 hours. So after they'd get off the night shift, they'd go to White Castle. My father is bitter at 41. Would you like to respond, Matt Eumanns?
Oh.
Yeah, White Castle's one of those. Michael asked me about hot button franchises that are, you know, hot topics. White Castle's one. That's another one. You either love it or you hate it. And when I was in my 20s and 30s, I went there quite a bit in Chicago. I was covering the Bears back then and the Bulls, and like you said, always on the move. And White Castle is one of those spots late at night you could always hit the drive through, and I loved it. I don't like it as much now. I would say it's interesting because Chris the Bear Felica from ESPN has White Castle in his top five. And I had it at 41, and I had people yesterday saying there's no way White Castle should be in the top 50. I think right around, somewhere around, you know, high 30s, low 40s, is where White Castle deserves to be. It's really not high quality food, Patrick. Come on, you have to.
No, it's not. It's not. But you sleep on the cheese sticks there. And Dad, I got your question in, Michael. You know what? Should we save one? You go to VSiN.com to check out Matt Eumanns' list because one is fascinating. Three is one that's popular everywhere. When I went to South Carolina, Chick-fil-A, was that an easy three for you, Maddie?
Well, Chick-fil-A was number one each of the past 2 years, but I tweaked my power ratings formula this year to put more of an emphasis. I did the same. The power ratings formulas I used to create for college football and college basketball teams, I kind of used that as a framework for the fast food, and I tweaked the power ratings formula this year to emphasize the importance of burgers a little bit more because I'm a burger guy, not a chicken guy. So that's why Chick-fil-A fell to number three. But like I said, amazing customer service. Efficiency, always high food quality. Chick-fil-A deserves to be in the top five no matter what.
You know, as a Jersey guy, you know, subs are huge here. Like, you can talk to Ken or Dez. I mean, when they come back here to help set me up here, I take them to Val Tacos. It's the greatest cheesesteak you're ever going to have. So when I see Jersey Mike's at 27, and I think the guy's incredible. All the money he donates, I do that. But that's not really an authentic Jersey sub. Like, if you lived here, you would understand it. I think it's wonderful. I just thought 27 was a little high. Like, if I could introduce you to Val Tacos, Matt, if I could bring it out there, I would. Like, I should send you a picture of it sometime. It's the most incredible cheesesteak you could ever have in your life. So, but there's only one location, and Joey Tacarino closes after Labor Day, so it's no use in trying.
Yeah, you got to have more than one location. Next time I'm in Jersey, let's go there because I want to try it. And I'll say this about Jersey Mike's. I think, the point you make is obviously fair. But I think it blows away the other sub shops. And if you get a chance to go there, the Big Kahuna cheesesteak is worth the trip.
Primanti Brothers in Pittsburgh is the name. Primanti Brothers.
Thank you, Patrick.
One thing I
Thank
will
you
say,
for the
Matt
help.
Eumanns. Okay. Matt Eumanns, like, the fact that he actually is in good shape makes no sense whatsoever, Michael. Like, the dude's actually in good shape. How does this happen?
I got fat reading the list. I gained 10 pounds reading the list.
Matt Eumanns, 247 on Twitter. Matt, you're the best. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, you bet. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
I mean, people take this serious. It is.
It's great. I love it.
He doesn't own plates. He doesn't own silverware. That's Matt Eumanns.
Nope.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Unleash the spirit of Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem online with the bonus credits, free bet tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert those points into reward points that you can use towards dining, you know, shows, hotel rooms, all over the place. BetMGM, this is the best. I mean, I always say it's a credit card, like a loyalty program, but it's the best in the business. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Any questions? BetMGM.com for the loyalty program. So, again, once you start talking at Michael Lombardi there in Jersey, I'm Patrick Maher here in Los Angeles as we go coast to coast. Once you start talking about Matt Youmans' list, it's just now I'm getting text after text after text. So Felica says, maybe you can reply, Michael Lombardi, Pepe's is better than Primanti's in Pittsburgh. I don't know about either of them. I will say to you, In-N-Out Burger, and I'm not a foodie, but when I eat In-N-Out Burger, I feel like I'm eating like a legit Bobby Flay hamburger. That's how much I don't know anything.
Well, when I lived in Los Angeles, I lived near the Los Angeles airport. And so anytime I would go to pick someone up at the airport, you know, I had to drive. I kind of went the back way into LAX, and there's that In-N-Out Burger right there as you enter the airport, right?
Yes.
You've seen it 100
yes,
times.
I've
never driven by it where there wasn't cars down the block. Like, the drive-through was insane. And I'm not a fast food junkie. Like, I won't just – like, if I'm driving, it doesn't really – like, I'm not going to go. When I was on the road as a scout, you know, I was hitting – grocery stores and buying chicken, like a roasted chicken, and take it back to the room so I could work, you know, as opposed to going through a drive-thru. And I got mad when used to be called Boston Chicken. When that came out, I said, this was my idea, like to have these rotisserie chickens in a fast food place. But so I give Matt Youmans credit. Look, anytime you make a list, like my blue chip and red chip list, people are going to criticize you. You know, so what? You know, everybody has an opinion. That's why we do these things.
If you ever had, now my dad is asking if Matt Youmans and Michael Lombardi have ever had Coney Island. Coney Island is very, their hot dogs very specific right. to Detroit.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure you've heard of them. Look, they're nothing special to me, but people are obsessed in Michigan with Coney Island dogs.
Well, you know, I mean, dogs specifically are, you know, important. I mean, what's that pink hot dog place out there in Los Angeles?
Oh, right
I mean,
now, yeah, Wilshire. Yep.
Yeah, it still gets a ton of traffic going. I don't know if the dogs are any good, you know, but it still gets a ton. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the one good thing about, I think, that made Diners, Drive-In, and Dives so much fun is because it brought you, you wanted to go to the place to check it out to see if it was real, or real it was authentic, if it was good. You know, and so all these places in these little towns, that's what I love about True South. I don't know if you've watched True South at all, but they go to these kind of different places all over the South that are kind of interesting. I had no idea Birmingham, Alabama was really started by a Greek settlers, and they have two incredibly great Greek restaurants in Birmingham, Alabama. Who knew?
Who knew? I got to put the phone. Now literally, they're just message after. You know, people get passionate about fast food. I haven't seen the Down South one. I used to watch the Dinner and Dives one all the time, which I loved. Does bring me to a very important question, though. Are you out on Cooge?
No, I'm still on Cooge. He's in Los Angeles. He just ripped the L.A. deli scene. I mean, he just had a bad sandwich that cost him $18.
Oh,
it was perfect. I mean, no, of course I'm still on Cooge. I couldn't get off Cooge. He's tremendous. Okay. But, I mean, he calls it like he sees him. And why not? You know, he went to some deli in L.A. that wasn't very good. You know how that goes.
We've been talking about guests for the Lombardi line. This football season is going to be amazing. We've been talking about special guests for the weekends. If Cooge doesn't make an appearance
he's on
the Lombardi
line,
has to be on the show.
There's no doubt he's going to make an appearance, absolutely. Because, look, I think what we've learned in general is football and food go hand in hand, right? Like, I never thought – to me, the right pregame show should always be in a parking lot of a stadium with a bunch of food around talking football, because that's what we do. That's what it is. Football and food, they go hand in hand. So, yeah, we got to have Cooge on to talk about the breakdown the Staten Island food and break down New York City. He'll have it handled.
With his Diet Cokes. Gosh, that
with
guy
DC's.
Makes me laugh. We'll get off it now, but – I will say, you and I aren't big fast food guys, but if I ate like Matt Youmans, I would have to be over 300 pounds, right? That's genetics. If you're eating four times a day fast food, like, and you're not fat, like, you got good genetics.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you haven't got your blood. I mean, like, I just looked at that list and gained weight. Like, it's just hard. I mean, I can't do it. Like, I can't function that well. My metabolism doesn't go like Matt's does. But he's constantly on the go. I mean, if there ever was a man that, you know, the old Odd Couple show, Oscar Madison, you know, kind of like all over the place, great heart, smart, writes great columns. You remember that old show?
Of course.
That's Matty Youmans. I mean, you know, there's stuff that he pulled a tuna fish sandwich out of anywhere.
Okay, this will shock. Let's give the bettors something to look for tonight. This will shock some casual observers, but those in the know, if you know, you know. When the NFL went from 16 to 17 regular season and they lost a preseason game, professional sports bettors were, part of my language, they were pissed. Because this is where they find an edge, right? This is an opportunity to take advantage of the books because you have the same information. That brings us to tonight. Vegas and Jacksonville. It's raining there. It's humid there. But I think it's going to clear up by tonight. Yeah. Vegas is up to 2.5, Michael, and we got a 30.5 on the total.
Well, I think, look, I think this is going to be – Jacksonville started much later than Vegas, a couple days later. I don't know what their practice routine will be. Jake Luton, you know, with the backups and all that, with all the skill. If you look at the rosters, I think there'll be a little bit more of an execution. Whether Jarrett Stidham plays well or not, I don't know that for sure. But you would think that just because of the continuity, Stidham having been in the offense in New England, he knows it, he can execute it, and their backups look better on paper than Jacksonville's backups do. So on paper, I would say that. Plus, I like the fact that it's under 3, and with Carlson kicking and there's no backup kicker, he's going to make pretty much whatever it has to make. So, and the field won't be a problem because it's AstroTurf. The stadium's really nice. It should be a decent track.
Can I give you a prop that Trevor Lawrence and C.J. Beathard aren't going to play? So that brings us to Kyle Sloter and Jake Luton. Sloter has been, he's been dominant in 12 preseason games. Check this out. Averaging 102 passing yards, 74% completion rate, 11-1 touchdown interception ratio. He's been awesome. I got a prop set at 75 for passing yards. He's going to see a lot of that second half. I'm going to go over on the 75 for Kyle Sloter.
I would go there. I mean, look, I don't think one thing we know about the game, they move the ball. The problem is that usually it results in turnovers. I mean, it isn't it goes three and out punt. I mean, teams move the ball. They just turn it over. They make mistakes because the execution, and it shouldn't be great. I mean, this is the real first time we've played football. We've drilled football, but we haven't played football. So it'll be fun to see. It'll be great. We'll get to experience it, and we'll have Mike Tirica and Chris Collinsworth talking to us, so it'll be great.
Look, I know you don't have the volume up much, but tonight I'm going to have it up just to hear the fans, just to hear the broadcast. Like,
yeah, me too.
It's back.
I think I will too. Yeah, I mean, I won't. Yeah, and I think the thing is, what really makes me happy tonight is we are now on path to have football every weekend. Even when we don't have it Labor Day weekend, we have college football. So from this point forward, every weekend now until February, we will have a football game. You may not like it. Will Hill will complain about the scheduling, as certainly that he always does. But we will have a game, and we can get into a routine.
All right, I'm going to embarrass you. 2 minutes to go. You know you've gotten comfortable with your son's success when we do a two-hour show, and you don't even mention this will officially be your first son's game as an offensive coordinator for the Las Vegas. I mean, he's 33 years old. This is unbelievable.
No, it's exciting for him. And, obviously with Josh McDaniels there, and he's going to have a tremendous day because they're going to donate a road and name it after the McDaniels family. So that's really – and he's coming home. But for Mick, this is a great opportunity to just continue to advance his career. I think he was brought up under the ideology of the more you do, the more you get, right? And so if you could do a good job in this job, you're going to keep getting more. And that's his mindset. And I talked to him today, and I think they're all excited about the opportunity that awaits them as they try to get this team going. The emotions of training camp always kind of ebb and flow. You had a good practice, had a bad practice. No, we had a good practice. Now you get to the games and you get a chance to see what your work has become.
Life is short. Life is fleeting. These moments don't happen often. You and Millie should be very proud. That's awesome for the Lombardi family. Quickly on the game, we just got under a minute. Do you have a lean? Do you have a lean on the total 30.5?
I go under the total. I think I would take – I'd lay the points to Jacksonville. And as Kurt Vonnegut said, if this isn't great, what is, right? So if this isn't great, what is? And I'm looking forward to football tonight because it's great.
Michael, have a great Thursday. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Patrick.
Michael's got an article. If it's been edited enough, it's going to go up at VSiN.com. Michael's got a great new article. I read it early today. Don't forget the College Football Betting Guide. VSiN.com/subscribe is up there as well. Thank you to everybody back there, that being Kevin and Matt Santos and everybody downstairs. Enjoy it. It's back football officially through February. It doesn't get any better than that. Odds On's coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.